To really get a good grasp of this gospel lesson today, we need to know just a couple of little things. First of all, that this lesson follows immediately upon another lesson, which we're very familiar with. It's often called the road to Emmaus. You might recall, it's when there are two of Jesus' disciples and they're journeying from Jerusalem off to what we might call a suburb of Jerusalem, Emmaus. It's about 7 miles out, so the scripture tells us. And they're walking their way out there and they're talking to one another. They're trying to discuss all of the things that have been happening. They're recounting to themselves everything that happened from the end of the week we call Holy Week into this new day when, as they are walking, they had heard some astonishing news, as they say, that this Jesus of theirs, whom they loved so much, was dead, but now he's risen from the dead. And a stranger joins them along the way. And the stranger seems clueless, and so they start telling him all of the same things they've been talking about as they walk along. And Jesus converses with them, talks about the scriptures and so on, until they get to the place where they are going, and suddenly it's growing late, and as is the custom of their place, they invite this stranger in because the day is near over and it's time to eat. So Jesus goes in with them and he sits at table. And they're, again, probably just talking the usual stuff that people say when they're sharing a supper together. And suddenly Jesus takes the bread. He says the usual blessing. Then he breaks it and he starts handing it out. And suddenly, the scripture says, their eyes were open. In the breaking of the bread, they saw Jesus. They recognized him for who he was. And Luke tells us he vanished from their sight. Now, that's the story that immediately precedes this one. Now, that's Easter Sunday evening. Now, this story then happens on the same day. It's happening on that first Easter. It's happening in the evening. And as Jesus left the disciples in Emmaus, they run back to Jerusalem. And they encounter the other disciples gathered together and they start proclaiming what they had seen and heard. And then they're all talking about it. Now they're all in that upper room and Jesus appears to them and he says to them simply, peace, peace be with you. That word peace in Hebrew or Aramaic is shalom. It doesn't mean simply the absence of violence or the absence of difficulty. It's a blessing of wholeness, where everything is coming together and all will be made well. That's their experience. Maybe that's the experience we had too on Easter Sunday. Maybe after all of our prayers and fastings during Lent, we prepared our hearts and our minds, our souls to receive this good news once again that Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We shout it from the rooftops. We even shouted it here in church, very un-Episcopalian-like. But we shouted it nonetheless. Are we that zealous today? Or is that all of that sort of worn off? It's been 3 weeks, well, 3 Sundays at least. We're entering the third week of Eastertide, this the third Sunday of Easter. Maybe our lives have sort of left the good feelings of Easter Sunday morning, and now we're returning to the usual schedule, the usual things. Everything is getting normal again. You know, that's okay because that's normal. That's what human life is like. We have our ups and downs and we can only take so many ups and so many downs and we kind of like it just to kind of float along the middle way. And I think that's what the gospeler John, the apostle John, is writing about when he writes his letter. He's addressing a Christian community that continues to gather in the Lord's name. But maybe their initial zealousness, their initial commitments are starting to wane just a little bit. Everything is starting to drift back to, as systems people talk about, homeostasis. That's a fancy word. Equilibrium. Everything's going back to kind of normal. And so he writes to them to remind them of something really important. He writes to them to remind them that the life and death and resurrection of Jesus was for a purpose. And even though it was a one-off, and we remember it every Sunday as we come together in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, that in fact, it happened only once and once for all. But its impact goes on and on and on. And in fact, the impact that goes on, John says to us very clearly at the outset of today's lesson, it makes us into children of God. Makes you and me, all of us, into children of God. But that's our purpose. That's our title. What does that mean? Now, I'm sure many of you have had this experience. One day, somebody was telling me a hilariously funny story. And I just gave out this big belly laugh. And a few seconds into that, all of a sudden, I stopped. Everybody thought probably something was wrong with me, but I stopped because I realized what I heard was not me, it was my father. And I don't mean behind me, I mean inside me. That laugh was just the way he laughed. The same tenor, the same tone. I was becoming my father. Oh my. Some of you have seen a commercial recently, a Geico commercial, where there's a support group because those younger adults are becoming their parents. And they're not too happy about that, so they need to break out of that. Well, you know, we won't say that. But the reason why that's such a common experience, and the writers of that commercial could use that, or you were relating perhaps to what I was saying, is because it's normal. It's the experience of our lives. And that's what St. John is talking about. He's saying, if you affirm, if you believe in this Jesus of Nazareth, if you believe that through his suffering and his death our sins are forgiven, if you believe that he has risen from the dead, then you are the children of God. And John goes on to remind us that the very thing we need to be careful about then is that we're using our energies every day to become more like our Father, more like our divine parent, that we become chips off the old block. Not perhaps only of our earthly parents, but of our Father who is in heaven. That's what St. John is telling us, that this was God's purpose. This is why Jesus came among us, to show us the path, to show us that it is when we finally are able to let go of everything in this world, as Jesus hung for us on the cross, he let go of absolutely everything, including his life. That when we do that, then we begin to understand what the love of God really is. Not our love for God, but the love that God has for us. That God would give up his own life, his own son, to show us how profoundly he loves each and every one of us. And that we, you and me, all of us together, that we are God's children now. John goes on to say that, you know, that's why the world doesn't like you. The world doesn't get you. Don't expect them to. Because you're living a wholly different life now than you used to. If you truly believe in this resurrection thing, if you truly believe that Jesus is alive and has sent the Holy Spirit among us to change and transform us, you indeed are being changed and transformed each and every day of your lives. You are becoming more and more the children of God. You more and more are becoming the very image of God alive in our world. You more and more are less of the world and more of God. The world doesn't get it. The world doesn't understand how, you know, we can overcome divisions and problems, not with violence and force, but with the forces of peace, generosity, gratitude. The world doesn't understand why we would take what we have been given and what we have acquired in our lifetime and start sharing it out so that those who have little can have more, so that each one has enough. That's the nature of the family of God. The world doesn't understand that we preach a gospel of peace, and then that peace emerges from a way of life that says, even if you take my physical life from me, I give it to you utterly and freely, because my life, my existence is of God. God is everlasting. That's the message that Jesus came to give us by his death and resurrection. That's what John is trying to remind us of. Even as our lives kind of drift back to normal and all the zeal and the happiness of Easter Sunday sort of wanes in our memory. Now, that's so that you can become God's children. And it is in the experience of being God's children that you find your truest joy, your truest love, your salvation. If we are children of God, then we have to live in a certain pattern, John is telling us. Now, John, it is thought of in legend in our Christian history to be the only one of the 12 that did not die a martyr's death. But John, according to this way of thinking, lived to be a very old man. Now, it is as an old man that he's scribbling these letters. He's been around for a while. And now he's writing these letters even as he is composing his masterwork, that work that we call the Book of Revelation, a prophecy of prophecy, something that says ultimately good will triumph over evil. Fear not. Because he knows deeply in his own heart that the power of God is alive in his children. And nothing can destroy them. You know, as an old man, John was much revered by those early disciples. And often as he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, as he was busy writing his revelation, people would make pilgrimage to see him. And often, a lot of the new leaders of communities, today we'd call them a pastor or a priest or something like that, they didn't use those terms then, it was way too early. We haven't developed all of those understandings quite yet, but they were leaders nonetheless. They would come to Patmos and they would want to talk to John, because John was the last one alive who knew Jesus up front and personal. He talked to Jesus. He lived with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. And they wanted to hear from his mouth what this Jesus was all about. And so as the community would gather, some of his helpers would would carry him into the midst as an old man. We didn't have wheelchairs then. They would carry him on a little chair, and they would set him down in the midst of this assembly, and everybody would fall into this hushed, anticipating silence, and they'd lean in to hear this fragile, frail, old voice and what he could teach us about Jesus. And it's said that he said little more than this: "Little children, love one another, because God is love." Little children, love one another, because God is love. Now, it's not the simpy sentimental love we're talking about of a Hallmark card or the Hallmark Channel, all that kind of stuff. It is, not to put Hallmark down, don't get me wrong, but it is the deep and abiding love, the kind of love that Jesus showed us on the cross, that John saw with his own eyes as he stood at the foot of the cross with Mary, Jesus' mother. And he saw Jesus give up his last breath for you and for me, for us. It's that kind of love of which John speaks, because that's the kind of love that fills the heart of God. A love which knows no bounds, a love which knows no selfishness, a love which knows no reserve. And so when he tells us, "Little children, love one another, for God, love is of God," he's telling us, love one another with every ounce of your life, every bit of your energy, everything you own. And if you do this, then you are truly children of God. So the challenge is for us, as we hear these lessons today, not only to recall the great joy of Easter, the great joy of those first disciples who are incredulous, and they're hearing these fantastical stories about Jesus rising from the dead. No, not just to do that, but to realize that all of that was for this singular purpose, that we, you and I, in this day and in this age, in this place, are day by day becoming more the children of God. And in so doing, we are less and less children of the world. And in so doing, God can use us to change and transform our world. It is in us that this power is worked. But it only works if we love one another. That's Jesus' message. When he says, "Peace be with you," he's not simply saying, "Hey, how you doing?" He's blessing us, telling us that our life can be filled with health and wholeness, that all the divisions we experience among our families, our friends, even our nations and in our world, among peoples and tribes, and who knows what division we can see, that all of that can be put away in the wholeness, the shalom that comes from God. "Peace be with you," he says. For God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in them.